This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. It is pothole season in Michigan. Boy, is it. It's the time of year when drivers really notice crumbling roads in the state, and that's often because they're paying a big bill to repair car damage. Crews are busy patching the potholes, but many streets and roads need a lot more than a patch. Dan Gilmartin got a chance to talk to a U.S. Senate committee about the state of the roads in Michigan. Gilmartin is the CEO and executive director of the Michigan Municipal League, which represents cities and villages in the state. Hey, good to talk to you.
Great to be here, Lester.
So what did you tell the senators about the condition of Michigan roads?
You know, normally I think you'd try to set up a testimony like that where you'd bring out all sorts of statistics and long-term planning strategies and all that. But I really felt like the best thing I could do was try to bring the fear, quite frankly, of the Michigan motorist of driving on the roads right now and bring sort of the concerns that we all have right to their doorstep on Capitol Hill, because I think so often we sort of get caught up in numbers and we're talking about a $2 trillion infrastructure gap and those types of, you know, there's enough people to talk about that. I really try to bring my own experiences here to them so that they could sort of hear firsthand about what it's like.
Yeah, you can't go very far without seeing somebody who's pulled off to the road because of a blown tire, because of a pothole. I mean, it's been pretty bad this year. A lot of folks out on the interstates, like 75. I mean, it's just been a rough go for a lot of folks. So what do you want from the federal government? What do you tell them that Michigan needs from them?
Well, the federal government, the administration came out with a plan about 2 weeks ago where, in essence, what they're talking about doing, they've identified $2 trillion in needs nationally. And what they've said is they want to put up $200 billion and we can sort of get the rest of it at home. So it's really a situation where they're looking.
Is this the $1.5 trillion trillion plan by President Trump,
correct,
the one he suggested?
Okay. Correct. So they're looking for over 80% of the funding to come from localities in the states, as opposed to the federal government having its traditional role of being, you know, a willing partner, an engaging partner, even a leadership, playing a leadership role on this stuff. So I think the plan itself talked about a lot of the right things. We talked about roads and bridges and even some about transit and some of the other issues that we've got. And other infrastructure as well, because you can talk about water and sewer and broadband and everything we need to be competitive in 2018. But there's just no money in there. There's just no real leadership there. A plan without money is sort of a dream. And
I wanted to get to that $1.5 trillion because, as you said, $200 billion, that's very short of $1.5 trillion.
Absolutely.
And so that $1.5 trillion is not federal money spent on infrastructure. It's that $200 billion and private sector and local municipalities and states are supposed to come up with the balance?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. You know the situation in the state, how the situation our communities are in, many of them are at their millage limits. Many of them have already passed local millages to deal with roads and sewers and transit and those types of things.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring it up.
Not in a position to raise over $1 trillion from localities around the country.
When the state's pulled back on revenue sharing, and that's the part of the sales tax money the state shares with cities, what makes you think the more distant federal government's going to care about Michigan cities?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, we've got to point out to them the importance of this. And we've got to point out to them the fact that, you know, again, bring those issues to their doorstep, because it's easy, again, to sort of get lost in the big numbers of things. But when people, you know, nobody likes paying taxes, right? You don't like it. I don't like it. But if you can see what it's going for, it matters. And I think you see that a lot happening at the local level. People pass local taxes because they know their road's going to get paved. They know their sewer's going to get fixed. They know the senior center their parents live in is going to get updated, whatever the case might be. As we move farther away, people get less willing to sort of play along. So what we need to do is, our goal last week and moving to the future, is to convince the state, convince the federal government that we need willing partners in this. They can't just continue to sort of kick the can down the road. This can't be solved locally. It can't be just one community's problem to solve an issue. It doesn't even make any sense, because most infrastructures have regional utility to them. When you start talking about interstate highways, we start talking about light rail. It's not the city of Dearborn's issue or the city of Mount Pleasant's issue or Washtenaw County's issue. It's a regional issue. It's a state issue. It's a federal issue. And that's why we need them sort of playing in this space. When you look back in history, you know, it's Eisenhower getting in the roads. It's going all the way back to building a cross-country rail system. We need that federal government doing the same kind of thing now that they've traditionally done.
I live in a smaller town, and believe me when I tell you, there are a lot of folks grumbling about the fact that we raised the state gasoline tax, fuel tax, and the vehicle registration fees to fix the roads Won't we be able to leverage more federal dollars with that extra money?
A little bit. One of the concerns we had with the changes they made a few years ago was that it doesn't even come close to solving the problems we have. So what the legislature did was a step in the right direction. They're talking about it raising upwards of $500 million a year by the time it's fully implemented. That's certainly needed. But when you talk about just the problems here in Michigan, you're talking about several billion dollars a year annually to go into basically fixing the infrastructure we have right now, not even thinking about what it needs to look like as we move forward to attract and retain people here and jobs and businesses and those types of things. So unfortunately, what the state did didn't come close to meeting the needs. And I think what you find is locals doing everything they can. So I guess if I got to rate them in line, the locals are doing the most, the state's sort of second in place, and then the feds coming in with a sort of 20-80 match just makes no sense at all. They've got to step up.
So when you're giving testimony before a Senate committee, often the senators have questions. What did they ask you?
You know, they wanted to know a lot about the conditions in Michigan. They wanted to know a lot about what we just talked about in terms of who's putting up what, who's on the team here. A lot of times the different layers of government sort of look across the aisle at each other and try to figure out, you know, are you in this thing as much as I am? And again, we were able to show them that locals, especially in Michigan, are doing everything they can. So I think those were the two things that dominated the conversation, and it certainly did not dominate the conversation before and after. And I think is after the testimony I gave, there's actually a number of cabinet secretaries coming before that same committee. They started coming in yesterday, and I think they'll be coming in over the next couple of weeks to talk about this issue. And we've got to get them sort of off the dime of this 2080. It's got to be more of an input on this thing. And I think we have some momentum to do that after a lot of what we've done.
So you head up the Michigan Municipal League. You talk to mayors of villages and cities all across the state. What do you think the answer is to getting Michigan streets, roads, and highways into decent shape?
Again, it's a multi-pronged approach. State, federal, and local governments working together. We can do more as far as efficiencies. We need to do a better job with everything. We need to look at R&D. But at the end of the day, a mile of road costs a mile of road. And I always like to say the easiest thing to do with a road is to build it, because you can't build it unless you've got the money. But to maintain it over a 20 or 30-year life cycle and then to rebuild it at the end, that's where you run into issues. And right now in Michigan, that's where we are with so many of our roads. Many of them are even beyond their life cycle because we haven't had the funds available over the last decade or so. So we got to play catch up, and then we've got to do a better job of, again, creating new types of infrastructure or expanding what we have right now to make sure we're competitive moving forward.
You know, most of us think, well, you know, I use the roads a little bit, but, you know, I'm paying plenty to get that and take advantage of that use. Not thinking about all the commerce that comes into your city, all the groceries that come to your grocery store and the retailers in the area, all the goods that are delivered, and that's all on heavy trucks, and they do most of the damage. So we tax them at a rate. What do you think will happen to Michigan if we don't keep these roads in good repair? What's going to happen to commerce and to our ability to travel?
Yeah. This is if you want to get past worrying about the fillings in your teeth rattling as you drive down the road and look at it more theoretically, this is a commercial, this is an economic conversation we're having. Because you know, yeah, we all want better roads. Yeah, we all want more transportation options, mass transit, whatever the case might be. But it's not just a want. It's a desire people are looking for. A lot was made. I know you guys covered a lot of the Amazon pitch here from a few months back and all the different cities around the country trying to pitch to become Amazon's second headquarters. And if you look at the list of what they were looking for, it was all based upon amenities. It was all based upon what a region offers.
Because quality of life.
Quality of life. And people now are choosing quality of life on where they want to live. And businesses, like Amazon, follow the people to where they want to be. So if people want to be able to take a high-speed rail instead of drive a car, if they want to take a bus instead of a car, if they want good roads to be on, water, sewer, parks, bike lanes, all that stuff that traditionally we thought of as sort of soft infrastructure, that's reality right now. That's where folks are going. That's where businesses are going. So that's why we lose out on the Amazon conversations and many of them that aren't quite as large. We see that happening all the time because folks are looking at going and following talent, being part of a scene where all this great stuff is happening. And if we don't pick up our game there in Metro Detroit, Metro Grand Rapids, Lansing, wherever, and then throughout the state, we're not going to be competitive, plain and simple.
Dan Gilmartin is the Executive Director and CEO of the Michigan Municipal League. Thanks for coming in.
Appreciate you having me.